And we're ready to go. Of Gimel and Beis. We're actually, last time we went Mishnah to Mishnah. Today we're going to go Mishnah to Mishnah to Mishnah. We're going to, there's two Mishnayos that we're going to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but at least we don't have to hold cup for too long because then the next Mishnah comes along. This is a complicated Mishnah. Misha Kiddush Achat Mishtei Achayot. Right? The Mishnah says a person was Mekadesh, was betrothed, married one of two sisters, Vein Yodea Eze Mehen Kiddush. He now does not know which one of them he betrothed. So the easier way to understand this, as is mentioned, I think Rashi here or Rashi later, it was done Aide Shliach, right? He sent the Shliach and to be Mekadesh one of two sisters. And now, by the time the shliach gets back, the messenger gets back, he's not sure which one. He's no longer sure which one, right? So he's married to one of these sisters. He doesn't know which one. So he can't, the problem is, he can't live with either one of them because it may be achodisha, right? You're not allowed to live with your wife's sister. And you're not sure which one you married. You can't marry the other one because that's not allowed either. You're not allowed to marry two sisters, right? So it's a problem. So what do you have to do? No tain get lazu. So you have to give a get to both of them. Now, just for the record, unless he's a Kohen, he can then go back and marry the one he wanted to, because if she didn't get married in between, it's not a problem with Machzor Grushaso. But it is an unfortunate complication that, and now this other woman, the question is, you know, one of these women was really married and now she's divorced. And to set everything back to zero, both sisters have to receive a get. So what's interesting is that the woman who was never married, the question is whether the woman who was never married and received this get just to cover your bases, would she be allowed to marry a Kohen? She was never married, but she's a divorcee. That's a tough. She doesn't know if she was ever married, right? We talked a little bit about that before. We said, what's the psul of a kahuna? Is it that you've been engaged, you've been married, you've had marital relations? But it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. Both of them have to receive a get. Mate, right? Let's say he dies. So this man who married a sister and he's not sure which one, and he dies. V'lo ach echad. And he has one brother. Choleitz lishneihen. Right? Then he has to, then the brother, right? Because the brother's not sure which of these women is the avama. So to cover his bases, he does chalitza with both, and he can't do yibum. Right? Because if it's not the one, if it's not really the Avama, then it's the sister of the Avama, which is not permissible, at least on a Darabana level. Right? So this is unfortunate complication. Hayilo shnayim, if the deceased who married two sisters has two brothers, echad choleitz ve'echad miyave. Right, one of the brothers does chalitza first, as Rashi says, and the second one, if he wants to do yibum for the other brother towards the other sister, he can, right? And as Rashi says, then it all works out, because if the woman who didn't undergo chalitza is the Avama, right? So then the brother's doing Yibum with the Avama. That's great. And if the sister was really, the Avama, and now he's marrying the sister of the Avama, that's okay because she's no longer Yavama because she did Chalitza. So it's all set, right? A little complicated, but it works out. But Kidmu V'Kintsu, if they went ahead and married, both of them married, the two brothers of the deceased husband married both sisters, that one of them which was married. So one of them was a zakuka liyavam, right? And one of them is not, but it hasn't been clarified in Beis Din yet which one is which, or how to go about it, or for the chalitza to go first. And really, ideally, one brother would do chalitza, and then the other brother could do yibum. But if both brothers go and marry both sisters, ein motzien miadam, right? You can't. We don't. It was not done correctly, but it's also not such a bad union that we say they have to get divorced. Ein motzien. They don't have to leave the marriage. And as Rashi points out, and Rashi is going to be helpful throughout at least the Mishnah, right? The kol chad v'chad amar ana shapir nesivi. Each one will say the one that I married was never married to my brother, right? So each one can make that claim. And since eino yodea, we don't know. So ein motzien, right? We don't force them to get a divorce because the restriction would only be midrabanan anyway. Shnayim. Oh, if you thought that was complicated, let's go to the next case, right? We're like five lines into the Mishnah. Shnayim shekichu shnei achayot. Two people, I think it's not brothers, right? Rashi says, hey, nachrim. They're foreign to one another. It's not that they're goyim. It's that they're not related. Finally, two people that are not brothers. So shnayim shekichu shnei achayot. Two men, not related to each other, marry two sisters, right? Shnayim shekichu shnei achayot. Zeh eino yodea eizu kiddush, zeh eino yodea eizu kiddush. And again, here too, in the other case, it was one guy who married through an agent two sisters, and he doesn't know one of the two sisters, he doesn't know which one. Here we have two men who married two sisters, and they're not sure which one was married to whom. Zeh notein shnei gitin, v'zeh notein shnei gitin, right? Oh, talk about complications, right? To resolve the situation, both of them have to give a get. Both of them have to give a get to each of the women, right? Meitu. If these two brothers die, right? These two men die, and they're not brothers, right? They're nachrim. Okay, they're not related to each other, but they both die. But they have widows who are sisters. Lozeach, right? So it's just an added layer of complication from the first case. Here we have two men who are not related, who are marrying sisters, and they die childless. And each of the men who are not related to each other each have a brother. Right? So if they each have one brother, then each brother does chalitza with both. That makes sense because it's consistent, right? If each of the men, had they been alive, would do give a get to both women, then if they die childless, then each of the one brothers from each husband has to do chalitza, right? If you thought that was complicated, wait, let's add something, right? Lozeh echad, lozeh shnayim. One brother, right? One brother, right? Reuven. I won't use Reuven. Reuven's here, so we'll use someone else. Shimon. Shimon had one brother, and George had two brothers, right? Hayachid cholitz lishtehen, the brother of Shimon, the singular brother of Shimon, does chalitza on both sisters, Vashnayim, and George's two brothers, echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. One does chalitza. One does chalitza on one, and the other brother then of George is free to do yibum on the other. Right? A similar miman afshach. If you see Rashi, vashnaim echad chalitza lafkui zeka meyachiv. Right? To remove any type of connection there is to the brother, im zui yivem tov, unishtri achota lesheni, miman afshach. Right? Miman afshach. Im yevimto he shapir, right? If this woman that George's brother marries is the Yavama, then that's great. Then Yibum took place. V'machotahi, but if she, and if she's the sister of the Yavama, ha-kapaka zekad ha-yavama minei b'chalitzad achiv, the first brother of George removed any connection there is due to the chalitza that took place first, right? It's consistent with the first case, just a little more complicated. The earlier case, I should say. Again, kin muvakinsu, emotim yadam, right? If one brother of George and one brother of Shimon marry these two sisters without doing the chalitza in advance, we wouldn't force them to get divorced. Lazeh shnayim. Okay, now Shimon and George both have two brothers. Achiv shel zeh cholitz la'achat. Achiv shel zeh cholitz la'achat. Then in that case, all you need is one brother from each to do chalitza on one of the women. And achiv shel zeh miyavim chalitza shel shel zeh, v'achiv shel zeh miyavim chalitza shel shel zeh. Right. So, okay. Shimon and George both have two married sisters. They're not related to each other, and we're not sure which ones they married. And then Shimon and George die, and there's a they die as a yavam. They leave a yavam. But they each have two brothers, right? So one brother of Shimon does chalitza on one woman, and one brother of George can then go and do yibum on that woman. Right? You have to crisscross. Right? That's the only way to avoid any complication, right? The woman that Shimon's brother does chalitza on, George's brother can go ahead and marry, and the other brother, vice versa, right? Let's see, does Rashi. Right, yeah, Rashi has here too. Achiv shel zeh, right? It's the last Rashi before it gets wider. Achiv shel zeh miyavim chalitza shel zeh mimonav shach. Again, right? Either way you cut it, this is the way that it'll be permissible. Imzu yivim toshav.
Is that called yibum now?
Right. If George's brother ends up marrying the yavama, then that's great. Shari achiv lo chalatz lezu el achoto. Right, and because he only did the brother of George, the one that didn't marry, did chalitza with the other one. Again, the same idea, because chalitza was done, it was just done in this case by the other side, which makes it even better. Okay. Kidmu shnayim. Right? V'chaltzu, if both of them go and do chalitza, right, the two brothers of one of the deceased, right, and they do chalitza on both sisters. Lo yavmu hashnayim ela echad choletz ve'echad miyabim, right. In that case, right, if both of Shimon's brothers do chalitza on the two sisters, then one of George's brothers has to do chalitza. Both George's two brothers can't marry these two women. One of George's brothers has to do chalitza, and then the other brother would be allowed to marry if he so desired. I think that is consistent. And then we say, lo yavim hashnayim ela echad choletz ve'echad miyavim kid b'vikinsuin mitzim yadam. However, if they would go ahead and both two brothers of George after the two brothers of Shimon do chalitza on these two sisters, and then the two brothers of George come along and marry them, right? It's not correct, but again, there are two ein motzien. Let's just see the last couple of Rashis. Layim u'ashnayim, the first wide line in Rashi. Layim u'ashnayim achim acherim zed zev zed zu. The common asiv ikalamim are zuhi achot zukukato. Right? So because you have to resolve the zeka that exists, they both can't marry both women because then one of them is problematic. So you have to resolve the zeka, and then mimanav shach, we say the other one can marry. And if they go ahead and do it without permission, then we say ein motzien, right? Ein motzien miadam. As we explained earlier, Shane Khan El Savik Yisra Achot Zukuka. Venasuna Rishonim, Diklamar, Kama Denasiv Yivimtohi, Shabir Nasiv, Vasranavi Shabir Nasiv Nachris. Right? It's this halachic reasoning, right? One of them was definitely a Yavama. Right? But each one could say it was my brother who married the Yavama, right? And therefore Bezin will not intervene to force either one of them to divorce. Right, by the way, this is halachic reasoning, right? It's the same idea like right, you have three pieces of meat and two of them are kosher and one of them is treif, right? So we say that you can eat all three pieces, right? Minat Torah, because you go basar rov, right? One of them is treif. So it doesn't matter. That's not how the halachic system works. So to hear, right? One of them is a yavama. So really, Chazal should intervene, but they say no. Each one of them can make the argument that the other guy married her. Okay, we having fun yet? Gemara, Shema Mina. So from here we see Kedushin, Chain, Masur, Libya, Havu Kedushin. So we want to suggest that here we have a case of Kedushin. We have a case that of Kedushin of a betrothal that had not come to that is not in which it is not possible to consummate that marriage is nonetheless considered to be Kedushin, right? Because what does it seem like happened here? The guy sent an agent to marry one of the sisters and he's not sure which one. At that very moment, he couldn't consummate the marriage because either one of them could be the sister of his wife. And yet we still see that they both need to get, right? So it says they want to suggest from here, we learn Kedushin, Shein, Masur, and Labia, have a Kedushin that even if it's not possible to consummate the marriage, we consider it to be a valid Kedushin. So we say, no, that's not what's going on here. Hachamai Eskinan, no, here, Kishihukru, Vosof, Nisarvu. There was a moment in time in which it was clear which sister it was. It just the message got lost. So at the moment of Kedushin, it was Roy Labia, right? It was Memsur, it was Masur Labia. But by the time it gets back, it's a problem. So there's no proof to your point. Tekanami Diktani, and this is alluded to or explicit in the Mishnah when it says, Ve'eno Yodea, he doesn't know in the present. Loktani Ve'eno Yodua, it doesn't say that it is not known, he doesn't know. But that, it's not that it's not known, which implies that at one point it was known, and at that moment it was Masura Labia, Shema Mina, right? So that's what we see from here. My Kamash Malan, right? So what is it? So why tell us, right? If it's Kedushin Shema Masura Labia, then of course both women need a get. So why would my Kamash Malan? What is that? Why tell us that here? If it was to teach us the Chiddush that Kedushin Shein Masur Labia is Kedushin, then it makes sense. But now that that's not what it's coming to tell us, then what's the point of, then what is it telling us that both women need a get? Seifa Yitzrich Halei. No, it's just for the consistency of the Mishnah. For the end, for the next case. Meit Vlo Ach Echad Cholit Tzishtehen. Right? If he dies and he has one brother, then he has to do chalitza for both, so too he has to do get for both. Hayilo shnayim, echad choletz v'echad miyabim. Right, okay, so that's the end of that. So the next case was, right, so because in the second case it talks about chalitza for both, in the first case it tells us a get for both, right? Hayilo shnayim, echad choletz v'echad miyabim. If he has two brothers, right, one does chalitza, one does yibum. Dafka michlatz v'hadar yibumei. Right, the order is precise. Well, of course it is, right? First chalitza, and then yibum. Avo yivume bereisha. Lo, right? But you can't do yibum before chalitza because the kapaga b'achot is a kukato. Because in that case, you are if it's not the right woman, if she's not the yavama, then you are marrying the sister of someone who is zakuk liyavam. And that is a prohibition midrabanan, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Fine. Okay. Next. Shnayim Shekichu, right? We're four lines after it gets wide. Shnayim Shekichu Shtei Achayot. Right? You have two people, right? Shimon and George, who marry two sisters, right? And we dealt with all the cases where they have one brother, where each one has two brothers, where one has one brother, one has two brothers. Shmamina, we want to say from here, Kedushin, Shem, Asur, and Labiyah have a Kedushin, right? Because the two brothers, the two men, Shimon and George, marry sisters, and we don't know which one, and they both, so it was, it's not royal, it's not Masur Labiyah, they can't consummate the marriage, because Shimon can't sleep with either one of them, because maybe he's sleeping with George's wife, and vice versa. So, and yet we still say they require gin. No, so we say, same exact Gemara, right? It's that it was known, and then it was forgotten. And this is proven in the language again. So my kamash malan, if it was Masur Labia, then of course they need a get. Same thing. Meso, if they both die, if Shimon and George both die, Lazat Achad, Lazat Ashnayim, one has one brother, one has two brothers. Hayachid cholitz lishneihem. The yachid is cholitz for both, to both women, both sisters. Vashnayim echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. One does chalitza and one does yibum. Pshita hainereisha. Right. This is the same case. Why do you have to tell us? Why do you tell us again? If that's the case with one, that's the case with two. Hainereisha. Right. One is cholitz, one is miyabim. That we already had that. So no, ma detema ligzer treya tuchad kamash rolan. Let's. We may have thought that there should be a gezera, that when there are right. We might in this case where two men marry two sisters, right? Shimon and George, and Shimon has one brother and George has two brothers. We say that, right? Shimon has one brother and George has. George and Shimon are not brothers, right? Shimon has one brother. George has two brothers. We might say we may not allow George's brothers to do chalitza and yibum, lest we should make a gezerah because we're afraid Shimon's brother will do yibum. And Shimon's one brother is not allowed to do yibum, right? So no, we say kamash rola. No, we're not going to make that gezerah. And whereas it's true that Shimon's one brother has to do chalitza, George's two brothers, right. One could do chalitza, one could do yibum. Fine. Kamash Walan. Vadafka michlet vada yivume. Lo, right? You have to do chalitza and then yibum. You can't do yibum first. To kapaga biyavam alashuk. Because otherwise there could be a problem that you're marrying as a kugeliyav. Okay, lezeshnaim. When Shimon and George both have two brothers, right? Ha sulamali. Why do we need this case? Hainu hach. It's the same as when one guy has two brothers. Two guys has two brothers. It just adds a complication. But it was all consistent as we saw in the Mishnah. Ma detam aligzer dimo miyabe below chalitza. Right? Maybe we should make a gezera. Again, maybe we should make a gezerah in this case that it's not allowed. Right, because maybe they'll do it without chalitza. They'll do yibum without chalitza, and that's a problem. So kamash malan, that we don't make that gezerah, that we allow it as long as there's chalitza. Fine. Mishna. Mehad etnan, right? Two lines from the bottom. How's this different from a different Mishnah? Right? We want to know why is this different from something we find in a different Mishnah later on, I believe. Etnan arba achim, four brothers. Shnayim mehen nesu in shnei achayot. Two of them marry two sisters. Right? You have four brothers married to two sisters. Umesu hanesuim etz. And the two brothers who are married to two sisters, they die. Right, so there we say only chalitza, no yibum. Here we said one does chalitza, one does yibum. So why is it different when you have two brothers married to two sisters? Why is it different than when you have two non-related men married to two sisters? Right, the two non-married brothers can do chalitza, but they can only do chalitza. They can't do yibum. There's the question. Here we say you could do yibum after chalitza. Achi hashta, what do you mean? Of course there's a big difference. Awesome. Awesome. Over there in the other Mishnah, Ilmanda Amar Yesh Zeka. According to the opinion that there is Zeka. The reason why he's prohibited is because there's a Zeka. Yesh Zeka. Right? Then there is a... Then there continues to be a connection here. Let's see Rashi. Ilman Damar, top Rashi. Chav Talad Amin Aleph. Taima Mishum Da Aser Levatel Mitzvat Yavmin. Right? What's the reason for... The reason that you can't negate the mitzvah of yibum, v'miyabim hai chada, and if one of them does yibum, dilma mayit idach, maybe the other one will die. Kodem shibim, v'teitze achota mishum achotisha, nimsa mitzvat yavim batela al yadenu, miyibum michalitza, harnesra mishum kach, v'kevan shenesra sha'achat. Okay, what's going on here? Right, so... Right, so here in this case, both sisters were definitely married to two men, both of them brothers, right? And we know who's married to whom. Correct. So there's definitely a zeka. Vilman damar asu levatel mitzvot yavmin, right? And if the problem is, if we explain that mishnah there that you can't do yibum is because it's forbidden to negate the mitzvah, asu levatel mitzvot yavmin, right? So there. Right. So there. I think what you're there. There is certainty, right, that the sisters are married to brothers, and we know which one is married to whom, and therefore we are creating a situation where you either we either maintain the zeka or you're mavato the mitzvah yibum. Avalhacha, but here in our case, right, where the two sisters were married each to a different relative, a different man, not related, right? Kol chad v'chad emor didei kometrami alei. Right, there's a certain unknown, right? There's a certain ambiguity, right? Because remember, if everyone's related, you can't say, well, it's not my yavam. They're all your yavam. They're both your yavam. And as opposed to if you have George's brother and Shimon's brother, right? George could say that wasn't my yavam. That was Levi's. That was Shimon's yavam. That argument. Doesn't work if you keep it all within the same family, right? If you have two brothers married to two sisters, then the surviving brothers of the deceased brothers, right, are going to be, there's going to be a problem on both sides. And that's why, in that case, by the way, later on, if they were to marry, right, if the brothers would go ahead and not do chalitza, but do yibum, we'd say motzien, because you can't point the finger somewhere else, right? Your brother's yavam is your yavam. Right, and the iser there applies as well, equally. However, when it comes to our Mishnah, right, we're going to say it here, Kidmu. We're at the two dots, three lines from the top. Kidmu Bikinsu, Emotian, in our case, right, if the brothers go ahead and marry the sisters, we don't require divorce. Tani Shela, Shela learned, Afilu Shneim Kohanim. Even if both brothers were Kohanim, we do not force their divorce, right? But this is consistent with what we've said elsewhere, that even though it's not an appropriate marriage for the Kohen, it would not require, it's an Isser Lav or an Isser Drabanan. Because it's a divorcee, or as a kuk, or a yavam, or a zakuk liyavam.
Is that the
consent divorcee? Yeah. No, one of them should undergo. Oh, you're saying because it's a.
It's not a divorcee.
Right. I guess because it was supposed to undergo chalitza, isn't that the problem? Let's see, Rashi. V'chaminayu vaday chalitza. Yeah, that's the problem. It's chalitza nasif. Right, the harusa sanachri chalutzihi me'achad mishnei achiv kidmu shnayim v'chaltzu. Right, so that one of them is a chalutza, and chalutza is not allowed to marry a kohen. So one of them did something incorrect. We don't require them to. It's not a motzian situation. My time, chalutza drabananhi. Right, chalutza is prohibited to a kohen on a rabbinic level. Savik chalutza lagozru barabanan. Savik drabanan. Right, we're not sure. Right, each kohen can say, I'm not married to a chalutza. My brother's married to the chalutza. Right, because there's an unknown there. So we say, is this really true? V'chalutza d'rabbanani? Right, a couple lines before the Mishnah. Chalutza d'rabbanani, is this really true? V'atanya, but we learned in a b'raisa grusha. When it talks about a kohen is not allowed to marry, is a grusha. Ein li el grusha. Right? A divorcee. Chalutza minayin. From where do I know that chalutza is forbidden? Tamad lomar v'isha. Right, I guess the word va, the vav is adds additional types of visha grusha, right? A woman divorced, right? Not only a divorcee, but even a chalutza. So we see that it's diraisa. Chalutza is prohibited to a kohen midiraisa, right, from the pasuk. No, midrabanan hu, it's really midrabanan, ukras machta v'yamahu. Right, and the pasuk is an asmachta. Right, it's just a support, right? There's different ways that we use psukim. Sometimes a pasuk really teaches us a diraisa. Sometimes it comes to support an idea that the rabbi has instituted. That's what we're saying here. Chalutza to a kohen is asur midrabanan with a support, an asmachta from the Torah.
The whole concept of halal is
we're going to go Mishnah to Mishnah. Hopefully we can, we'll get this done. Mishnah. Mitzvah begadol liyavim. I think this is a little bit easier, a little bit less back and forth. Mitzvah gadol liyavim, the mitzvah to do yibum is on the gadol, the oldest brother, right? So you have five brothers, right? One of them dies, you have four brothers, all of them could do yibum. The mitzvah is on the gadol to do yibum. And now we're going to ask, is it only on the gadol? What if the gadol doesn't want to do it? Do the other ones have to? Is she no longer a yavama? We'll see that in the Gemara. Imkidim akaton zacha. Well, we actually see in the Mishnah, right? If the younger brother goes ahead and does yibum, then it works, right? It's not ach. It's not eshet ach, right? It's not an iser. It's anyone on the family. But it seems like there's a precedence for the oldest surviving brother. Comes the Gemara, right? Chavtal and Amadalef. Tanrabanan Bahaya Habachor. Right? The Pasuk says it shall be that the Bachor comes. Right? Bahaya Bachor Asher Teled Yakum Al Shem Achiv. Right? The Bachor comes and steps in for his deceased brother. Right? So using the word Bachor, that's interesting. Mikan Shemitzvah Bagadol Yabim. Right? Commandment is for the old, right? Already we see that we're not saying Bechor Mamish. The Bechor means the one who was born earlier, the older one, right? The oldest surviving. Asher Teled, right? The Pasuk says that she gave birth to. Right, let's say there is no Bechor, right? Let's say there was a or died, right? Or it was a sister, exactly. But no, we're not. Even the Gemara at this point doesn't assume that it's Dafka the halachic b'chor. It's just the oldest. Asher Teled, which is interesting because Asher Teled, as if you read it typically, just means. Actually, no. This whole thing is not literal because Vaya b'chor Asher Teled Yakum al shem achiv, the b'chor that she shall give birth to, the Avama, shall stand in the place of the deceased brother. Right. So in the pasuk, the b'chor is talking about the kid that's born out of Yibam, and yet we're explaining it to mean the really we're talking in the pasuk is talking about the son of the deceased. Habachor Asher Teled, well Yakum al Shem Achiv, right? And yet we're saying that it applies to the brother of the deceased, that it teaches us something about who comes first, right? So it's a little loose, it's a little fast and loose with the literal interpretation of the psukim here, but nonetheless. Asher Teled, well this already makes sense because this is the literal interpretation that the Bechor that the woman gives birth to, right? So it implies that Yibum is only with a woman who can give birth. Prat Lion Lechen Yoledet, right? There is no, we've seen this earlier. There is no Yibum on a widow who is an islandess who can't give who is unable to have children. Yakum al Shem Achiv, right, will come along and stand in the place of his of the brother that died. Lenachala, in terms of a share in the inheritance, right? So it's interesting, right? So Reuven. Had a brother who died, and that brother had a wife who wasn't who had no children, and Reuven didn't have children. So Reuven does. I'm sorry, the brother didn't have children. So Reuven does Yibum, and the child born of that is the purpose of that union, but the share in the estate goes to Reuven, not the child, right? The brother, not the son. Right. Correct. Lenachala, that's what it teaches us. Atomer, so let's take a moment. Atomer lenachala, oh, and all shame, right? Does the child born out of Yibum, right, follow in the footsteps of the deceased brother for the name or also for the nachala? In other words, Yosef, Korno to Yosef, right? What's the point? The point is that when, if there's Yibum done and there's a child born, then that child should be named after the deceased brother, right? If the brother was Yosef, it was Yosef. See, Reuven felt bad that I mentioned Reuven, so the Gemara mentions my name also. We all get mentioned here today, right? Yochanan, Korno to Yochanan. Any Yochanans on the call? No, just a Yitz and a Levi. But right, no, but right, but he'll inherit the father. But the father, I mean, we know lots of people who you know, blow away their inheritance, right? So if his father blows away he doesn't get it, right? Because if he's really standing in for his dead uncle, right? His dead his mother's ex first husband, then he should get it directly from the grandfather. But we don't say that, right? We say that, right? It's a little, right? I mean, it's an interesting thing. Obviously, the father of this child is the surviving brother. Yet Yibum makes it as if it's somehow a perpetuation of the legacy.
From the grandfather, from the uncle, the inheritance from the dead uncle. Isn't this
No, it's from the grandfather. In other words, whatever the grandfather would have given to the, right? You have five brothers, right? Whatever the grandfather would have given to that brother goes to the brother who did Yibum. Right, he gets that share.
Right. So in other words, it's the kid's uncle.
Whatever, right, the dead guy is the kid's uncle, correct. Right. Even though he's named after his uncle because his uncle was married to his mother. Right. Yeah. Then you get into West Virginia and it's all then you get into Jerry Springer and it's a good time. Right. Actually, this is much more calm compared to, earlier Davim and Yevamos. Let's be honest there. But here we go. So is it about the Nachla? Is it about the name? Right? Nemar Kan Yakum al Shem Achiv. right? It stated here that he stands in the place of his brother. Nemar lahalan al shem achem, al shem achem nikro menachla tag. Right? Ma shem amar lahalan achla, av shem amar kan lanachla. Right? Don't get so stuck on the name. Right? I'm not sure that's even a binding halacha that you have to name the kid after the dead uncle. Right? Shem is nachla, right? We have a pasuk that talks about that the name of the family is passed down through the nachla, through the inheritance. And that's what the child, the brother who does Yibum, takes his brother's nachla by having a child. They didn't have family names, right. Now the question that can be asked, and I don't remember if this is here, is when does the surviving brother get the inheritance of the deceased brother? When he has a child or when he does Yibum? Let's say he does Yibum, but he doesn't have a child, right? It doesn't produce a child. So does he still get? No, I'm saying, but like when does he get that inheritance, by doing Yibum or by having the child? It seems like there's an assumption that if he would do Yibum with this sister-in-law, that they would produce a child. You know, I don't know, you know, in real life, there's no guarantees, right? But anyway, okay, let's see if maybe that'll come up. We continue in the pasuk. V'lo yimacha shemo, his name should not be erased, right? If he has, this way, if the deceased widow has a child, his name will not be erased. Prat lasaris sheshmo machui, right? This comes to exclude that if the deceased was infertile, right? He himself was a saris, then the brother doesn't have to come along and do Yibum. He's probably prohibited from doing Yibum, right? As we said all along, Yibum is a great chiddush. If there's an indication that you can't do it, then you're stuck with the Isser of Eshet Ach. So if your brother is a saris and he couldn't have had children, then there's no obligation for Yibum. Okay, Amar Rava. That too, that was Islandist. That was the previous case. Amarava. Well, it's a question whether you need chalitza at all, or she's completely divorced, pardon the expression, from the Torah of Yibum. I mean, the Torah of, I don't know if you need chalitza even at all. She's just exempt. Right? It's kind of like when a Yavama falls to you, that's an erva. Right? When your sister ends up being your Yavama. You don't do chalitza, it's just not right? If your brother married your sister, right? Your paternal brother. Yeah, that's the Jerry Springer stuff from a couple daf ago, right? If your paternal brother married your maternal sister, right? And then he dies, then you don't do Yibum, you don't do Chalitza either, right? So there are certain categories of women that, even though without knowing the characters involved, there would be Yibum, we say no, this case there's no Yibum. Yeah, because then they're just allowed to marry a regular kohen, not a kohen gadol, because then they're a widow. Yes. Amarava, right? I don't know. We're about almost halfway down on the page. Amarava aval gav de bechal torah kula ein mikra yotzei b'dei pshuto hacha ati gzera shava avkite mi pishtei legamre. Right. This case, right? Right here, we said that the word shame by nachala teaches us that the whole purpose, that shame when it comes to Yibum, is about nachala. It's not about actually naming the child. And Rava says that's not the pshat. The pshat is that if the deceased was named Yosef, you name the kid Yosef, and it doesn't have to do with nachala, right? So Rava's not arguing. Rava's just making the point, right? That even though in general we read psukim literally, In this case, we do not, right? We love Gzer Shava. Without the Gzer Shava, Havamina, shame, mamish. Right? That the purpose is that it means literally a name. Laman kamaz her rachmana. Who is this talking about? Liavam. right? He's talking about the man, the living brother, right? Yakum al shem achicha, right? Then it should say Yakum al shem achicha mibayle, right? It should say that he comes, right? If you're talking about that, this child that you have, should be named after your brother. It should say your brother, not his brother. The pasuk says Yakum al shem achiv. But if we're talking to the Yavam to name your son after your brother, it should be Yakum al shem achicha, right? Ila beidina, if we're talking about Beis Din, who's overseeing the case and telling them what to do, Yakum al shem achi avi mibayle. It should say, make sure the kid's named after the name of the brother of the father of this child, right? So it's clear, right? So it's clear that the pasuk is not only we're disagreeing with Rava. It's not only on a interpretive level. That is talking about Nachala, but even on the pshat level, Yakum al shem achiv is a reference to Nachala. But Dilma Hachi Kamar LeRachman LeBeizdin. Maybe it's really talking to Beizdin. Imrulei LeYavam Yakum al shem achiv. Tell the Yavam that he has to name his kid after his brother. Ela Asik Zer Shavav Kiti LeGamrei. No. The Gzera Shava comes along and entirely removes it. It's not about name. Like I said, it's not clear. I don't know for sure that you have to name the kid after the brother. Right? It's about Nachala. That's a halachic concept. And that's what we get here. So the Gemara continues, Hashta Damrit Kra Begadol Ksiv. Right? We said that the word b'chor means that the oldest has the first is meant to approach is given the opportunity for the mitzvah first. Ema b'chor liyabim. Maybe we should say only a b'chor can do yibum and pashut lo liyabim, and a brother that's not a b'chor does not do yibum. Right? Let's take it literally. Imkain, if that was so, eishet achiv shloya b'alomo d'mit rachman alomali. Right? That's a good question. Remember we said the non contemporary brother, remember the brother that's born after the older brother dies, right? We said if you have Reuven, and then he dies, and then Shimon's born, right? So Shimon's born after Reuven, and in between and before after Shimon's born, there's still the Reuven's widow is still a Yavama. So we say we have a pasuk that tells us that brother that was non-contemporary is excluded. So we ask, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that? He's not the Bechor. So why does the Torah have to give us a pasuk to exclude a non-contemporary brother? It must be that every brother is eligible for Yibum. Okay. Parach Ravacha, Be'ema, no, what about the other way? Lemuti Bukhra Di'ima, right? Maybe it's coming to exclude the firstborn, that the pasuk that excludes an ach shel hayah ba'olam, right, a non-contemporary brother is about a maternal brother, right, and here we're saying that when it comes to the paternal brothers, the bechor, only the bechor, not the pashut. So we say no, ha'ul matzid amrit, that you can't say di'ibu v'nachla tal rachmana. Right, because Yibum is dependent on Nachla. Yibum, as we said, the word shame by Yibum is about Nachla. It's all about who gets the share in the estate that the deceased brother should have gotten. And Nachla min av v'lo min aim, right? There is no Nachla on the mother's side. It's all about the father's side. So therefore there's no what? No, as long as it's his kid, I don't think we say non-contemporary for that, right? If a child is born after their biological father dies, I think he still gets a share. That's not a question. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case. But of course, right? If mothers don't get there is no estate from the mother, right? The mother is inherited by the husband, not by the children. The Ema. All right, so we ask the Ema ki ika bechor titkai mitzvot ibum. Maybe we say if there's a bechor, then there's ibum. Ki like a bechor lo titkai mitzvot ibum. Right, ibum is only when there's a bechor. If there's no bechor, there's no ibum. So Markro mate echad mehem. No, the pasuk says one of them dies. It doesn't say. Right, milo askina to meet bechor. Maybe we're dealing with the oldest one dies first. Right, so it's clear that the commandment that the yibum applies on other brothers besides the bechor. Vema to meet katan. Now you know you're saying that the bechor died. I'll tell you the younger brother died. And really yibum only applies on the bechor. So if the bechor dies first, there is no yibum. If the younger brother dies first, leaving a widow that needs yibum, then the bechor does do yibum. Hamit. So we say no, that's not the case. Hamit Rachmana Eshet Achir Shloi Balomo. Right. Then again, we come back to the point: why would you need a pasuk to exclude a non-contemporary brother? Right? A non-contemporary brother is always the younger brother. You should have just said, right? The reason why the non-contemporary brother doesn't do yibum is because he's not the bechor. We bring a pasuk which implies that had he been contemporary, even though he's younger and even though he's not the bechor, then that's a problem. The Ema. Kilaka bechor. Kadam katan zacha. Right? If there's no bechor, then if a younger brother comes along and does yibum, it works. V'yika bechor kadam katan lo zacha. Right? The only time a younger brother can step in and do yibum is if there's no bechor. But if there's a bechor, it's the bechor's sibling's mitzvah and only his mitzvah. Right, but is that, and the reason why we say that is Amakrok Yishu Achim Yachtov, because the pasuk talks about Achim, right? Hukshi Yeshivas Achim Zelazeh, all the brothers are equal, right? So all of them can do Yibum. There may just be, right? We say, we give the right of first refusal to the oldest. It doesn't have to be a Bechor. And if someone else does it, if someone else comes in the first, even if there is no Bechor, it still applies. Ki Yishu Achim Yachtov. Vema. Right, three lines before it gets wide. Chavtalad Amad Aleph. Ve'ema ki ika bechor lehader agadol. Maybe we say if there's a bechor, we go back to the oldest brother. But ki lak a bechor, if there is no bechor, ein chozrin etzel gadol. We don't go back to the oldest. Right. Right. In other words, we force the bechor if there's a bechor, but if there's no bechor, we don't force any of them to do it. Right. So, what do we say? Alamatani, Abaye Kashisha. Then we ask about Abaye the elder who explained mitzvah begadol liyabim. Right. The mitzvah is on the oldest to do yibum. Lo ratza hochen etzel achiv akatan. Right, so we say you do go back to the oldest one and force him to do something, even if he's not the bechor. So the Gemara says, no, kibachor. The oldest is like the bechor. Ma bechor bechorato garmalo. Just as when it comes to the bechor, his status of a bechor gives him certain rights and responsibilities. Avgadol gedulaso garmalo. In this case, the oldest causes him to have the responsibility of doing something. Right, so if there's four brothers remaining, I don't want to do Yibam. Basin's going to say, you got to do Chalitza on the oldest. What was that? No, he doesn't have benefits. He just has a responsibility. Right, pretty much. The Ema, right? Two lines from the bottom. The Ema, Kimi Ami Bechor. If there's a bechor to do yibum lishkol nachla, the bechor takes the nachla from the deceased brother. Kimiyavim pashut lo lishkol nachla, right? So maybe that's the difference. Right? The bechor would get the nachla of the deceased brother. The other brother could do yibum, but no nachla. Amakra yakum al shem achiv. No, we go back to that pasuk. Vari kam, right? He fills in for the brother and he gets the brother's shame, which is a nachla. right? Ve'ela b'chor dekari rachmana, right? The pasuk says b'chor. So we're really, really fundamentally, right? Top of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, we're grappling with this question. It says b'chor, right? So why does it say b'chor if it doesn't mean b'chor? L'mai helchosa, right? What does it teach us? Say gadol, don't say b'chor if it doesn't mean b'chor at all. Ma b'chor, eino notel b'roikum muchzak, af hai eino notel b'roikum muchzak. Right? Right? Just that, like a b'chor, when he takes pishnayim, he only gets what's actually part of the estate, and not which would be owed to the estate at the time of the death. So too, this yavam, even if he's not the oldest, only gets, right, when the father dies. Whatever's part of the estate he gets, but anything else, they split equally, and he doesn't get the share of the deceased brother, right? Roy is what's due to the estate. Mukhsak is what already the estate has at the time of the death of the owner of the estate, right? So in this case, the father, right, the brother dies while the father's still alive. The brother does yibum. Whenever the father dies, he gets his own share and the share of his deceased brother, but only in what is already part of the estate. Let's say when the father dies, he's owed $1 million from a different corporation. That money is split equally among the surviving brothers. The dead brother doesn't get, the Yavam doesn't get the share, any share that would otherwise have gone to the brother. Okay, we are done. I think this worked well. We'll email afterwards, but should be good in person and online. Have a good day, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.